A lot of things change. As president, I will immediately shut down Operation Choke Point 2.0. They want to choke you. They want to choke you out of business. We're not going to let that happen. And no longer will your government sit by and watch as Bitcoin jobs and businesses flee to other countries because America's laws are too unclear and too tough and too angry and too stiff. We will keep each and every Bitcoin job in the United States of America. That's what we're going to be doing. Upon taking office, I will immediately appoint a Bitcoin and crypto presidential advisory council. Would anybody like to be on that particular council? Please raise your hand. Their task will be to design transparent regulatory guidance for the benefit of the entire industry, and they will get it done in 100 days. We will have regulations, but from now on, the rules will be written by people who love your industry, not hate your industry, people that want to make it clear and simple, straightforward and fair, people that want to see your industry thrive. I'm laying out my plan to ensure that the United States will be the crypto capital of the planet and the Bitcoin superpower of the world, and we'll get it done. If crypto is going to define the future, I want to be mined, minted, and made in the USA. It's going to be. It's not going to be made anywhere else. And if Bitcoin is going to the moon, as we say, it's going to the moon, I want America to be the nation that leads the way. And that's what's going to happen. No, you're going to be very happy with me. You're going to be so happy. You're going to say he's the greatest guy.
Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, and while I'm sure we're all actively involved and invested in getting Donald J. Trump his biggest election win yet in November, nevertheless, a lot of you have asked me, what do I do if the unthinkable were to happen? What if Trump loses in November? How can I financially thrive in a Kamala economy? Where should I invest? Where should I not? Now, in answering some of these very important questions, I think it's important to think through some large-scale scenarios that have been operative now for decades that have come to affect our current economic conditions, but also that are affecting policy and procedure. For example, let me give you some fun facts here. Did you know that the U.S. dollar has lost over 96% of its value in the last century? A dollar in 1800 is equivalent in purchasing power to over $20 today. Today's dollar would be worth less than 4 cents back in 1913. Interestingly, 1913 is when the Federal Reserve started to take over the U.S. banking system. And let's see if you can answer this question. How does the Federal Reserve devalue the dollar? You know the answer. By printing more money. Printing more money causes monetary inflation. That means there are more dollars in circulation, but obviously it does not mean that we're getting more value from our money. So although Bidenomics have been pretty awful, with prices higher than many Americans can afford, what we can see, ironically and sadly, is that there really has been a deliberate and conscious choice to devalue the money and earnings of the working American since the beginning of last century. And we've talked about it before. That's important to know because poor people are dependent people, and dependent people are controlled. Joining me today is my friend and crypto expert, Dan Ryder. Dan is founder and CEO of Prime DeFi, an amazing company that many of our Turley Talkers have used to not only get into crypto, but actually start thriving as the world financial system continues to devalue our assets. So Dan, great to see you again. Thanks for being here with us again.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I love being here. It's always a pleasure.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. So let's start big picture here, just in terms of where we are right now. I'm thinking in particular of just your expertise of Bitcoin versus the U.S. dollar. So Trump has come out of late now. He's a vocal champion of Bitcoin. BlackRock had their, Larry Fink had his conversion. They're all now champions. Heck, they're trying to buy up as much Bitcoin as they possibly can, it seems. And this is all happening at the same time. Just the dollar continues to devalue. Inflation's out of control. I mean, you're Mr. Crypto. You're on the front lines of this. What do you see is going on here?
Yeah. Yeah, this is, it's pretty wild, actually. We're witnessing the death spiral of the dollar, right? You mentioned how ever since about 100 years ago, you know, the Fed has been in charge of monetary policy. And they're not alone in what's led us to this point, right? But the problem that we have right now is that the debt-to-income ratio of America sucks, like just to speak plainly. And, you know, anyone who's ever tried to buy a house, you know that you've heard that term, debt-to-income ratio. If you try to take a loan, that's one of the things that the bank is going to use to assess whether you're someone they can lend money to. Are you a safe recipient of that money? And they look at things like debt-to-income ratio. And it's interesting, the kind of the recommended amount, of course, you want your debt relative to income to be as low as possible. But, you know, usually you see kind of the ceiling of that looking like 40%, right? Your total debts shouldn't exceed 40% of the income that you have coming in. That would be considered kind of pushing the upper limit of a healthy ratio. Well, what's going on in America? Our GDP, which is our income, our gross domestic product, in 2023 and 2024, about $27 and $28 trillion, respectively. You compare that to our debt, right? In the same 2 years, 2023, our debt was piling up to about $33 trillion. Now we're pushing $36 trillion. Right. That's not a 40% ratio. We've exceeded
100%.
We've exceeded 100%. Yeah. So, you know, this is quite the pickle. And, you know, I call it a death spiral because I don't think we can save the situation, which is kind of frightening to think about. And you see how the government is responding to this, right? You see what the Fed does with monetary policy. And why is this happening? It's happening for a few reasons, right? We have other factors contributing to this problem that's just getting worse. It's a death spiral because we have things like population growth on the decline, right? And with population growth declining, our GDP is also declining, yep. Relatively speaking, relative to our population. And so that is the way at which if our government was a company, that's how the company makes money, right? Through our productivity and through tax revenue, right? Our productivity stinks. It's declining. And so we have this massive debt pile that keeps getting bigger, so we can't pay our debts. So the government is essentially forced to print money, as you alluded to, right? Just to kind of refinance its own debt. Wow. And so we're playing this game that is a dangerous one, and it doesn't have an end in sight, where we're just balancing, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. We expand the money supply, and, you know, that can only go so far before we have to hit the brakes a little bit. We see inflation getting out of control. That's been the story the last few years here. And then as soon as they get kind of like a, I don't even want to call it a green light because it's really not, but as soon as they have a little more wiggle room in the system, right, to expand the money supply, they do it. Why do they do it? Because when money is printed, it's a quasi increase in productivity and a quasi way to collect more tax revenue to pay off expanding debt. So you're stuck in kind of like a credit card doom loop, only at a large scale, right? And so that's what's happening. And so when you think about why Trump wants to have a strategic Bitcoin reserve, why you see Larry Fink, you know, turn the corner on Bitcoin, admit he was wrong. He's been going on this huge PR tour lately saying, I was wrong about Bitcoin. We need to have Bitcoin. You know, smart people, whether they have good intentions or, you know, maybe more nefarious ones, as in the latter case, right?
Right.
I would put Trump and Larry on the same, on the same pedestal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, right. You know, they're
same team, but perhaps different reasons.
Exactly. But they're smart, right?
They're reading the tea leaves. They recognize it. And you're giving us the what here. But how about the who's? I mean, let's name some names here. I mean, who turned us into a debtor nation? I talked about the Fed. obviously. But are there more players involved in turn and just really basically, like you say, just devalue the dollar and destroying the dollar?
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, we could really unpack this and go super deep on it, but I think maybe just to keep it simple, it's really, you know, not just the Fed, but the fact that we lost backing, a sound backing to the dollar, right? If we rewind time to the 70s, right? I believe it was late 60s, early 70s, the Bretton Woods system, the gold.
Bretton Woods too, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we lost that gold backing. And why did we lose it? We lost it because we saw Washington bureaucrats, the principle of greed from decades ago is still here, right? It's the same problem we have now as we did then. We had an oversupply of dollars due to overextending, overprinting. We printed dollars back then, and there was a fear that we didn't have enough gold to back it, right? So instead of going down the sound path of, well, okay, our behavior's wrong.
Right.
We just changed the game so that it allowed this behavior to repeat for decades and decades. And that's unfortunately those statistics you were quoting earlier about, you know, what a dollar is worth. And, you know, it's been eroded. It's been devalued over almost 100 years. Right. So that's kind of the who, unfortunately. And you know, again, the smart folks, the big money managers, they see it and they know that something has to change because the game is going to fall apart and we're going to enter this new era of value storage. And so they want to get ahead of it.
It's so interesting because I was just reading an article not too long ago about China and how China was pushing back. The question came up, would the yuan be the next, default global currency? And apparently Chinese officials are like, we don't want to be a debtor nation. We don't want people, you know, dumping their reserve money in our bonds and our treasuries so that we end up becoming a debtor nation like the United States, because that's just it's a short-term gain for a long-term loss. Exactly what you're talking about. They're having their own demographic issues as well and the like, as you well know. I mean, any notion of like how this was allowed to happen, the way BlackRock kind of is involved. I mean, just talk about an enormous company with enormous holdings. I mean, how is all of this allowed to happen?
Yeah, that, you know, it actually reminds me, I just had this epiphany right now about you know, the Bretton Woods era, right? And how prior to that, you can rewind decades prior in the 30s under Roosevelt, we actually had the government seizing gold from citizens in America.
Yeah. Right?
Because why? Because gold was directly tied to the value of a dollar. And so they had to kind of police and control gold. And so now fast forward, right? We have our current system is in a death spiral. Value, the way we store value and the way we think of value is going to dramatically change in the next decade and beyond. And the big players see it. And so what can they do with something like Bitcoin? They can't fully control it because it's decentralized, right? Which is so amazing.
Right.
But they can slow it down and try to gobble up market share. That's the game that they can play. And so BlackRock, right? It's so sad and funny to the people on the know to watch their behavior. Now you see these PR tours, there's Bitcoin ETFs approved. Bitcoin's it's the greatest thing since sliced bread today. However, 2 years ago, what was it? It was a scam. It was funding terror.
Because they didn't control it. They couldn't control it. Right. So that's the rhetoric to try to marginalize it.
And the crazy part is while they were spewing that rhetoric at the average everyday person who has a real shot to like dramatically reposition themselves financially, while they were spewing that rhetoric, they were in the background investing in their ability to procure it. Right. In 2022. We had BlackRock, right, who owns all the media companies telling you that crypto is the boogeyman, investing $400 million in Circle, partnering up with Coinbase, who was later sued by the SEC, right? partnering with Coinbase to set up the infrastructure so they can custody their Bitcoin, right? They knew they were going to buy up Bitcoin 2-3 years ago. and at the same time, they own all the media companies that told the public, right, that this is bad. Stay away from it. You're a psychopath if you buy any of this stuff. Only right. 2 years later, once they're all ready, right, and once they've started to accumulate, oh, now it's so great. It's so great all of a sudden, right? So, you know, it's a nasty game of control. And
that is what you just said, I think, is it can be applied across the board. You know, Hillary Clinton can push a Russian collusion hoax that interfered in a democratic integrity of election, cost us tens of millions of dollars in a completely unnecessary investigation. That's all fine. But disinformation on X, Elon Musk, that's dangerous. We got to shut that down. And how do you even begin to put those two things together? One seeks to maximize government control, whereas the other one seeks to resist it. That's the difference isn't misinformation, disinformation, truth information. It all comes down to control, mechanisms of control and power. And you just what you just summarized with what BlackRock did with their, particularly with their media lackeys, their legacy media. You're really accusing the legacy media of not telling the truth? You mean they're in bed with corporate CEOs, billionaires, and bureaucrats? Impossible. So what can we do about this day? We're not cynical here. Obviously, we're not. We are action takers. What's the path of hope that we can take to maintain our freedom and our independence in the midst of all of this?
Yeah. So I think, you know, despite all this, it's still right now we're in such a key moment in the history of this asset class, in that it hasn't fully reached that stratosphere where the big wealth transfer is over. We're witnessing it right now. There have been some early adopters that have gotten in. They've ignored, you know, the media machine, and they've had life change, and there've also been people who've gotten hurt in the markets because they've kind of timed their entries into it at the mercy of whatever the narrative in the media was, which was not in their favor, right? And so really what I believe everyone needs to do right now is recognize this moment in time, because the next several months, and certainly within the next year, we are witnessing the largest transfer of wealth into this asset class. And it's not going to happen again, right? It's not going to happen again at the level of scale that it will now, because once all the sovereign money comes into the space, kind of that big boom up to that next level for the asset class is going to be, it's going to reach a certain level of maturity. And so, you know, if you think about what we talked about before, the devaluation of the dollar and just how this death spiral is only going to get worse over the next 4, 8, 12 years. I mean, now is the time. If anyone was either worried about, you know, what their position, financial position looked like in the next decade, maybe worried that you're not going to have enough, or if it's more, you know, to the tune of, hey, I'm somebody that I want to take a big swing in life, and I want to elevate my family's, you know, status, right? Like I want to go up a notch on the totem pole. This is one of these vehicles that we have that we don't see that often, right? We saw the internet boom. Now we're seeing this blockchain adoption curve, which is moving faster than the internet. And it's right now. Right now is the time to get in. So I think what everyone needs to do is to take a serious look before, you know, the masses become more properly educated by the mass media that it's okay to come into the space. You know, you want to take advantage of that. And so that's why, you know, we started a community to help people get into the space and have this kind of trusted, you know, cohort of folks that you can have at your back to help you have the confidence to break into the space. Because it's not hard to invest in crypto. It's hard to discern the right information. And so I think people just need to get into the space because they're going to miss the window. They're going to miss the window.
Now, people can actually click on the link below, or they can even scan the QR code on the screen, and they can actually schedule a free call with you, can't they? And your team, and you can help them, guide them into getting into crypto? Because for a lot of people, they've never done this before. They're really nervous with it. Doesn't make a lot of sense. It's like going back into the 1990s and we get this email. What the heck is this? I've never used this before. can you, if somebody were to click on the link below, scan the QR code, can you just give us a little sense of what that consultation call would be like?
Yeah. So it's, and thanks for bringing that up. You know, I often lose sight of how our community has helped mostly complete beginners in an older demographic. I get so excited about the work we're doing. And you know, one of the most amazing things that I think we've done is helped more experienced folks who maybe going into crypto wouldn't be their first thought. You know, they might not think that they have the technical ability to do it. But what we do on these calls is we're able to talk to people and explain the process, show them how they can get into the game, how they can custody their own assets, because that's a big part of what we do. Yeah, we want you to have control over your wealth yourself, right? And so we show you what that roadmap looks like. And you know, there's interesting things that people can do. Once you get into the space, you can not only build wealth for the future, but there's actually the opportunity to generate income or cash flow off of these things now, which is another amazing thing that a lot of our, I think, more mature, you know, demographic appreciates, that kind of that cash flow aspect of it. And so we help people look at the process and see, you know, how they can get involved. And in many cases, we can help folks do that. And if not, we can at least, you know, point you in the right direction as to what makes the most sense for you. And so that's really the purpose of why we set up that consultation. So we can help educate people who want to break into the space and find a community where they can build that confidence and just have this trusted group they can rely on. But whether it's with us or with somebody, you know, I think the time is now to do something. And so even if we can't, you know, we can't help everyone, we're just one community, we will certainly point folks in the right direction when we speak to them on the phone.
That's such a wonderful point. I love the way you just summarized that. In the end, gang, take action. Do something. and I love what you're saying. I mean, crypto really is the future. I'm absolutely convinced of that. The two things I love is gold and crypto. I see this. I've talked about it before. Archaeo future money. There is a revolution happening in money today, like never before. And it does get you. What I love about crypto is it gets you out of that system, out of that Bretton Woods system, because that ultimately is, like you're saying, it's a system of control. You know, I'll never forget those dear patriots, you know, in Ottawa with the Freedom Convoy when they were protesting against the draconian COVID lockdowns, and they got locked out of their banks. They got debanked in mass. It's not so. People tend to think of money as a token, like a dollar and so, but it's not just the token, it's the system that the dollar is in. It's the ATMs, as it's the banking systems and so forth, and the powers that be can lock you out of that. They can never lock you out of your crypto. Crypto is a means of freedom and independence outside of the system. That's why I love it. Is the essence of the parallel economy. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
And it's really get into that. That's what everybody, at least to some extent, dip your foot into it, get into it. And if you're ready to do that, gang, if you're ready to get your financial future in order, help steer this country back to its roots, I couldn't recommend a company more than Dan's company. Scan that QR code, click the link below, schedule your free call with Dan and his team. They're the best. Don't miss an opportunity to change the trajectory of your future and that for your family and for our nation as well. So just click on that link below, scan the QR code, schedule your free consultation call. I don't think you're going to regret it. I have not heard any of our Turley talkers ever even come close to saying they regret it. You're going to love it. So Dan, thanks so much for helping us make sense of this crazy time we're in. Appreciate it very much.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.